Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Hello, hello, hello. This week's podcast was recorded live in the Sugar Club in Dublin on the 26th of September 18. Our intro music is performed by Irish rockers The Blizzards. Their full performance and interview will be broadcast at a later date. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy yourselves.
This will be terrible. 1, 2.
It's Two Johnny's podcast.
I can't believe you fucked it up.
Two Johnny's podcast.
Will you fucking stop that? Let's go. Give it up for the Blizzards! Oh my god, the man.
Thanks very much. Lads, you're very welcome to the Two Johnnies podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I am Johnny Smacks, podcast number 33, coming to you live from the Sugar Club in Dublin.
No.
All right. On this week's podcast, we are debating what makes a great Irish pub.
Now, you'll find this man ringside at the Mart or pacing the sidelines of a GAA match, but tonight he will be here in Dublin one night only. Mr. Noel Furlong will be here tonight.
Of course, the lovely Mara is here to surprise us with her mystery topic, and it won't be anything rude this week, lads, because her father's in the crowd.
And they said it couldn't be done, but we've proved them wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, he's in the building, Mr. Mickey Joe Hart.
Yes.
I played it cool up to this point, Mickey, if you're watching. And of course, it wouldn't be a Two Johnnies podcast without our yurts and dirts of the week. Yurt and dirt.
Okay.
Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast, Mr. Chairman.
Lads, we got a message in. S.H. Melangitis.
Mellingtons. Fucking. Not from Galway.
Was on Snapchat saying, my dad used to manage the ladies' football team. We were talking about managers last week. And he was great, super involved, even bought them new jerseys. But the sister didn't get on with the dad, and they had to be separated at the dinner table for a full year. And I think my sister would have appreciated Noel's style of coaching. Now, Noel's style of coaching, lads, if you remember, involved a one-on-one session down the woods. So if your sister's looking for a good pole accent, I'd say get on to Noel. Other than that, no. Okay.
Also, Damo said, had a manager when I was about 12 playing hurling. One day we were training in the local AstroTurf and the soccer crowd were in there beforehand. Anyway, I kicked the ball with one of the lads before training and found the soccer ball in the bush. I said, nice one, I'll keep that. So my manager spots me with the ball and makes his way over. I handed him the ball, presuming he'd hold on to it for me. But no, he decides to boot it out over the Astro into the car park. Another young lad spotted the ball, got out of his car, took and drove off with his man. People are crazy. Being 11, I was nearly in tears. The same manager had a ban on soccer jerseys at training. I'm now best friends with his young lad and get on well with the same fella, but he still owes me a soccer ball. So that was Damo. He was in touch.
Okay, Adam was in touch to say they won the rugby league last year and his manager used to say, this game is a World Cup final. And the other lad who trained him used to play the Russian national anthem before every game. I don't know why he played it. He was a carpenter from Ballinasloe.
The captain 92 said, on the topic of management, the All Blacks rugby team have a tactic called sweeping the sheds. It doesn't matter how talented you are, if you've any sort of ego, you're off the team until you sort yourself out. Sounds a lot like Care GAA, yeah. To be fair.
Maeve was on to us to say, Johnny Smacks, when you were talking about a manager drops a player and then the manager's butcher fucks up his meat, was that from personal experience? Have you been putting your cock in Larry Queenie's mince?
I can categorically deny I ever put my cock into anyone's mince. But I'm not saying anything else. Also, a lot of love for our interview with Vinnie Mae from Codeline last week. One lady snapped us, I enjoyed your interview with the Codeline drummer. Never really listened to their music before, but I've taken a listen and I love it. I did laugh though because the songs are sad. Because of the mentions on your podcast, I've also listened to and enjoyed the Blizzards and Mickey Joe Hart. I haven't been living under a rock. I'm just an old lady and not too hip. Thanks for the laugh.
Oh, isn't that nice?
There you go. Bringing real music back.
Yeah. And I had a young lad named Matt. He was drunk snapping me last night. He's here, I think. And long story short, he was telling this girl that he was mates with us. And I think he got the douche out of it. So he was snapping the next morning, just trying to play along. And I was saying, yeah, I'm good friends with Matt. He's one of the boys. So Matt's looking for a mug. I want something from Matt. I'm after getting him the ride via Snapchat. So
I wouldn't be signing an old character reference for Matt just yet.
No.
Also got a snap from Brian, who's abroad in Alain in the UAE. Might be linking up with Brezzy there during the week, that's it. Killing a few pigeons. Making the lunches for the lads and also listening to the podcast for the first time. Horrid sorry I didn't start listening sooner. First round of the Middle East hurling is this weekend in Dubai. Han Alain. So who gets the mug?
Oh, I wanted to give it to the lad, the Russian lad from Ballinasloe.
Yeah, Adam.
Adam, okay.
Adam from Ballinasloe. Maureen, you'll sort that out. You'll be in touch. All right. Weekly roundup. What do we do this week?
Fuck off.
Fucking panic, I'd say. initially. So, yeah, we obviously went to the Go Games the weekend and then we spent a whole...
Wait, there should be nobody here who was at the Go Games.
It's fucking over 18s. But yeah, we were so busy with stuff that we literally sat down yesterday evening to plan this podcast. So, of course, you know, massive effort gone into this.
Yeah. Thank you all for coming. And
and tomorrow night, we're also recording podcast 34, and we're going to be joined by the man who created a song that should really be up there as our national anthem, Maniac 2000. I am, of course, talking about...
Mark McCabe.
Mark McCabe will be here tomorrow night, also the De Laurentiis. Anyone complaining, you can fuck off. Quite simply.
The only thing we got up to this week is I'm calling Johnny Smacks out now live in the podcast. He went for a haircut today with somebody who wasn't our barber. Scumbag.
He's a friend from school. He cuts hair in town. So
it meant nothing to me.
I get nervous if I just sit around, like, so I just said I'd go for a haircut. Like, there was no need because I actually got a haircut Saturday. It's just fucking so. I couldn't be fucking listening to you for the day, so. That kind of passed my day. You were sleeping, and I was going getting beautified, so. That's the crack. All right, lads, topic number one. What makes a great Irish pub? Now, the two Johnnies are no stranger to a pub, as any Dublin publican will tell you. A report earlier this year found that Ireland is home to just over 7,000 pubs. Another report surveyed tourists found that almost 80% of tourists said that visiting an Irish pub was an important part of their experience of Irish culture during their holiday.
So, you know, Irish culture, Johnny, we like to think we're the land of saints and scholars. Have you been to Temple Bar? Like, first of all, Michael Flatley fucked the whole saints and scholars thing when the dance and all that. That threw the cat out of the bag.
Don't fucking take this out, Michael Flatley, no. He done nothing wrong.
But you can't have Irish pubs like other pubs around the world.
Okay.
Remember we went to America? They never get out like this. In America, like, we were playing a gig and we're like, fuck, there's no one here. Your man said, I'm on the clicker. The whole place is full. Like in Ireland, they'd be rubbing you in Vaseline. Get in the fucking door. Irish pubs need to be hot and fucking sweaty. Not in like a sexy Latino way. Just kind of like turf and fucking...
Misery.
And Smittix, like. And that's... Do you know?
So, I mean, essentially here, we're going to find out what makes a good venue and what's a good spot for a feed of creamy pints. Now, the Daily Edge suggests the following as essential ingredients for an Irish pub. Number one is at least one old guy who has his own stool and newspaper. And by stool, they don't mean what he's fucking dropping into Jack's.
Yeah. But that has to be organic, like. You can't order an OLED off Musgraves. It's Christmas, get two OLEDs.
Yeah. Get Jim and Paddy down there, we give them free drink. Have you strong views on that? Do you like it? Do you like an old OLED to chat to? That's where we get most of the fucking material, to be honest.
I do like a good OLED, you know?
So you don't have to go to pub for that, you just got on your local committee. Most pubs, they say here, number two, a real, actual snug.
The snug is nearly gone, lads. The snug is nearly... Like, who goes into a snug now? It's only...
Is anyone here going to an old snug in a pub? Yeah.
Fuck. With who?
Oh, lads, fucking... Hey, trouble in the front row here.
Where are you from? Fingless. Are you from Fingless as well?
No.
Where are you from?
My father's a hip
hop. I didn't fucking ask your father. Where are you from? Okay, grand. We'll leave it there, so.
Number three on the list.
Number three.
friendly, but not too friendly barman.
Okay.
Now, I think this is fucking key. Because in our local, we've got a great barman. They call him Baby Bat. Oh, wait till you fucking hear the stories. Now, he's the most optimistic man ever. He's always happy, like. And, I mean, I went in there one day. I was after losing the job at the time. Not this job. I'm holding on to this by the skin of me fucking teeth. But I was after losing the job, and he was in there cracking jokes. And they're bad jokes. So I went in one day, and I was like, can I get a bottle of Corona there, Bat, please? He was like, yeah, no bother. Popped it up on the counter. I said, counting up my money. I was like, what's that? He's like, bottle of Corona. But like this kind of shit, I get a can of cider. Full can, yeah? Oh, yeah. Give me the fucking can, will ya? And the last time I was in there, he told me a great one. He was like, I was up outside the Chippers there at Enzo's. Fucking an old granny walked out, like, three lads start baiting the shite out of her. And he was like, I went over. And I was like, did you, yeah? What you do? And he was like, well, between me and the three lads, we give her some fucking bait. So that's the calorie. I'm still laughing at it, like, and I know that you're. That's the caliber of barman you're dealing with. But he has no, you know, he can't judge your kind of mood.
Your mood.
So he's happy all the time. Whereas I think you got to have the barman who's like happy with you. Yeah. But if you're down, he'll say, yeah. And that fella is a prick. You know, so you need a bit of that.
Or do you need several good-looking barmaids?
Well, like, I wouldn't disagree with that, now. In fairness, like. Do you like the barmaids, John?
I'm not going to comment on that, now. A fire is on this list as well. Now, a fire in a pub is good, right? Bit of turf. But the Forge in Care used to have a fire. My mate Simo had a child. Not him, the wife now had a child. And went out, got excited by the child, broke up a chair and managed to hide it in the fire.
So the child was annoying him, was it?
No, then? The fucking chair, not the child.
I know he broke up the chair, yeah. But
he was just celebrating. The child wasn't there, it was only born.
He was just wetting the baby's head.
Yeah.
Smashed the stool off.
Yeah, he burned it in the fire in the pub.
Thank fuck he wasn't on the guest list anyway.
Number five.
Areas of near total darkness.
Yes.
That's... That can be handy for a number of reasons. Not least at 2 o'clock in the morning when you don't want to see what you're bringing out the door with you. Is that right? Each other, fuck's sake, Jesus Christ. Number six on the list is at least one wall plastered with local GA community raffle announcements.
Yeah, you need memorabilia. Like, I want a big black and white photo of, like, Paul O'Connell wrestling Cromwell or something. Just fucking, you know, like Keith Wood covered in mud.
Yeah. That's, I agree, yeah. A few flags, GA flags, jerseys, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Number seven on the list is people you love but whom you would never tell you love.
I don't know if
now,
that's...
Now, I'm guessing, Maura, you wrote this list. not sinister in that at all, no?
No.
Fucking liar. Number 8 on the list is slightly uncomfortable bar stools. Now, this is a fucking bone of contention with us. Why don't all bar stools have backs on them? Do you know what I mean? The good pubs will have them. And, like, I actually would rather a small stool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
There's a pub in Kira now, and it's all fancy, and has these big, like, round circular ones, and you're about this distance apart. Now, you can't cut the back off your manager at this distance.
You need to be closer.
You need small stools.
So we need...
And Pat's riding his wife then. Like, you know, you need small stools and small tables.
Number 9 on the list is a small but perfect selection of snacks. I don't know about fucking food. And, like, I just think little, real salty cocktail sausages at halftime in a match or something. That's yeah. We go... It's ghastly, I'm saying this, but like this has been recorded. When we've a local GA game, we go to the same pub. It's like our local GA.
The Shamrock
pub.
Lounge.
The Shamrock Lounge, yeah. Good man, you fucking named it as well.
Yeah. The last day I was in the Shamrock Lounge, Margaret gave me a free dinner because I keep mentioning it in the podcast.
She'll fucking flaming it this Sunday. So every time we go in after a game, Huey comes down and he gives us the few little chips and sausages and sandwiches. And the chips are fucking laced in salt. Now, I mean, like, to the point, they're nearly uneatable. Salt makes you thirsty.
You've some thirst on, you know, yeah.
And then if you're going to leave, you're like, oh, we've had two, now we'll fucking move on down the road. And he's like, stand you one there, lads. Fucking in there then for the night. So I don't know about snacks, Johnny. I don't really know. Huh? Purple snacks.
Oh, you need pink snacks, yeah.
You're definitely from Galway, are you? Purple snacks. Monster Munch. Do pubs still serve them?
Oh, yeah.
Where's that?
Number 10.
They don't have fucking Broadman there either, do they?
Yeah, good taps. Good drink.
Good taps, yeah, of course. And yeah, a miserable toilet is normally par for the course. In most fucking Irish pubs. They don't care about the toilet slats, I swear to God. But I mean, Johnny, what do you look for in a pub?
You want a place where you can go during the day and hide away. Like you're supposed to be at work. A pub needs to have cubby holes. Mm. And a beer garden.
Mm.
Well, if you have a snug, that's too definitive. Like, where was he? He was in the fucking snug.
Yeah.
Do you know, he was hiding. But if there's only a cubby hole around the back of the jukebox, like...
You want the blackout curtains. Because if you're inside, like...
And I'm just drinking. What are you getting up to, like?
If you're inside listening to fucking going mental to Oasis at 2 o'clock on a Sunday, listening to a bit of Peter Gabriel, like whatever you want to do, and you're, I know you like a bit of Barry Manilow there on a Sunday. You're listening to that, you don't want to know what time of the day it is. That's why you want the blackout curtains.
There's a place we went to last St. Patrick's Day in Edinburgh called the Three Sisters. You've experienced it. I'm not joking. By 10 o'clock in the morning, it's full. They have to close the door. And you go inside, and there's no light. By 3 in the afternoon, I honestly thought it was like 4 a.m. He was asleep.
Yeah, I fell asleep at halftime in the Grand Slam game between Ireland and England. Standing up. So, yeah, needless to say, you need dark corners. But I think the key with a good pub is it needs to have a good doorman. Someone who knows you. You know, you need to know the code. Like, not like us standing outside Cassidy's there a few weeks ago, going like, Lev's in there, your man's like, why? It's like, go on, Lev's in there.
What do you mean?
He was like, why? I was just like, you're fucking Lev's. And lads in the queue were going, ah, the two Johnnies can't get in. You fucking simpletons. So. I was like, right, we're going somewhere else. Okay, you're back.
The TV is a big one for me. Pubs nowadays have a TV every fucking 6 inches. Oh. I want a big screen at one end and a big screen at the other that only come down for matches.
Okay.
Yeah. Other than that, like, what else is on? Fucking is on Coronation Street or something, like, do you know?
EastEnders could be on.
Watch that at home and don't ever tell anyone about it again.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on the but the screen, the big screen has to be HD. Like, you see a lot of pubs going, oh, come in and watch the match there. And it's hurling. You can't even fucking see the ball. Like. A big massive screen. You don't know what's going on.
Very foggy in Parky Queeve.
Yeah.
Jukebox.
Yeah, a jukebox. It's got to have a cracking jukebox full of 80s and 90s. You want like Bewitched, all that kind of shit. Like,
yeah.
That's what you want.
But if you have a if you've got a jukebox like we do in our local, you have to be prepared. Like 7 o'clock Sunday evening, Colin Baker's putting on Tiesto.
I love that. Like, or else there's a couple of metalers down the back. Just rocking out the corn. Like, lads, it's Saturday, 10 o'clock. Like, come on to fuck. Now, Garrett Brooks fucking dead right there. I get the cowboy hat out for that one. Should pubs serve cocktails?
Oh, if you say yes, give us noise.
Ooh.
and yes, there are lots of cocktail bars. I think...
Yeah, Notions is right. Like, gin menus and cocktails are grand in a bar once the bar, I think, isn't too swanky, once it doesn't get carried away with himself. Now, there's a pub in Ross Grey has recently started free Prosecco if you book a boot. Now...
Did you ever hear the fucking license?
I don't know if you've been to Ross Grey. But it's not the type of place you'd book a fucking boot. You'd get a fucking boot fairly handy. But, seemingly, it's flying down there, and they're all drinking. The women are all drinking cocktails and gin because it gets the girls in the door. Mm-hmm. And the boy said they're fucking mopping up a home. He said their pulling levels have spiked since the introduction of Prosecco. So
€7 bottle of Prosecco. It's a cheap ride, lad.
Okay.
Maura, do you want to join in here?
I think Prosecco on tap can be dangerous. I'm not speaking from experience or anything.
It's okay, Larry. No, it's grand.
Yeah, no, the one about the cold toilet, though, that's a big one for me, because I don't know if any of the ladies in here tonight have ever been wearing a jumpsuit, and you have to go into a toilet and go to the bathroom.
Don't
and you
talk
have
to me.
Take it down and zip it down, and you're just there, and it's around your ankles, and it's so cold. And you die of hypothermia, so then, yeah. Yeah, that's... Just warm toilets, that would be make a great pub for me.
What about the Irish pubs abroad?
Oh.
Like, just because you have a 20-foot shamrock outside the fucking door doesn't mean you're Irish.
Well, why do they always serve Kilkenny?
Does anyone drink that?
You can't get Kilkenny in Kilkenny. You can get it in Marbella, coming out your ears, lad.
But I mean, I think it should nearly be compulsory anyway. I don't know what you think, but for Irish pubs abroad, the staff should definitely be Irish.
Or some of them like.
Yeah, or well... If not Irish, at least fucking ginger anyway.
Honestly, there's Irish bars in Amsterdam and there's a lot of Chinese lads behind the bar, like.
I don't know. It wouldn't have the same appeal to me. I mean, when you see an Irish bar, you just assume, like, the owner's Irish. I was out in Lanzarote walking down the street and your man was like, "Hey, my friend, come to fucking Mulligan's, man. Best fucking night of your life." And I was like, "Is it busy down there?" And he was like, "Yeah, man, fucking..." He was from Leitrim. No, he was. I'd say he was Turkish or something. And he was like, "It's crazy busy, man. You're gonna fucking 2-for-1 cocktails." I was like, "Right, look, fuck it, we'll go down." We went down then into the bar. The only two in there. It was €18 for one cocktail. So I got one for free, like, but it was £18. So stay away from Turkish Irish bars.
I was in an Irish bar in Thailand, behaving myself, and there was a band playing like a lot of rebel tunes. Mm. And this is one playing the fiddle. And I was like, "Well, where are you from?" "Sweden." Swear to God. Swear to God. Look, price of drink in Ireland is getting out of hand. Can we all agree on that?
Yes. Not as everybody in front of him has a drink. Yeah. Price has gone to fuck. Spent €200 last night. How long are you out for, Mary? An hour. Fuck. Yeah. It's wired, like.
It is. But that's women drinking gin. Gin in a mixer, lads. It's gone over tenner.
He know.
I don't know.
He's fucking buying enough of them, anyway. How many people here are drinking gin? Just raise your hands. A man yourself, boy. Put the fucking hand up, he's brave enough, yeah. Would you drink it out of a big goblet now? You would. Yeah, you're fucking dead right, boy. Why not? So, lads, that's pubs. And all this talk about pubs, to be honest.
We're going to let you get a drink.
It's got a bit of a fucking thirst on me. So we're going to take a quick little break. The bar's going to open. Get yourself a drink. We'll be back in 15 minutes, all right?
All right, see you in a minute. Thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get part two underway. Give it up for your hosts. Woo!
Someone missing. You better not all be fucking pissed now. You probably all know what's coming. I'm 33 podcasts in. This man has been gracing us with his presence every week. He's talked about Donald Trump, Kanye West, a whole lot of them have got both barrels from this man. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to sit down, strap in, get comfortable. He's here to drive it, drive it, drive it. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News. It's Noel's News.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to introduce to you the one, the only, Mr. Noel Furlong.
Some fucking kip. You brought me up here for this.
Yeah. Listen, thanks very much, Noel, for making the trip up. It's, I know you're not too fond of Dublin.
Capital of me bollocks.
You're
I heard your father wasn't tipped. Do you want another bit of chip in you? Shut up! Okay. They're getting it tonight. You're getting it tonight, lads. And I'm not talking about the student nurses. Oh, they get it too. Tonight, I'm talking about the Yanks. You know I have a fractured relationship with those cunts. News story from America. After firing a woman because she let children drive a bus. Okay, first of all, what the fuck was a woman doing driving a bus?
Oh, no.
Okay?
Is there a podcast disclaimer coming there?
Yeah.
Now, like, Carmel's a good woman, but I wouldn't let her drive a wheelie bin. Okay? One time, I asked her to put the ride on lawnmower in the shed. It was a four-car collision. We're 2 miles from the road. Okay, so this was in the town of Valparaiso. Did you ever hear that?
No. No, did you?
You think I'm fucking Christopher Columbus, son? Okay. Think I have time to be swanning around America. It's in the state of Indiana. Now, this bus driver, she's 27-year-old Jardare McAtee. And she had the children drive the bus home. A genuine story now. To near the end of the route, and a couple of children on the bus, and she let them drive the last few miles. So fucking what? All of my lads were driving by the time they were 12. My youngest lad, Jimmy, do you know what he got for his 11th birthday?
What?
A combine. And he well labelled for it. Ain't wrong, well labelled for it. I suppose there was none of that in Ross Gray,
no? No, 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 of course.
Walking
not.
Around town, the big fucking Elton John hitting you. So, I heard your mother was here tonight.
Oh, no.
Trish, you've got a lot to answer for. Lot to answer for now. I'll have a word with you later. Not like that. Now, the bus company, they fired your one. And she could be up in court next over letting the children drive the bus. Soft fucking yanks. Didn't we all have a field car? Any lad here have a field car, no? See lad Moffley there?
Yeah.
See the fair, he looks like he could rob a shop with a sport. He had a field car, okay? So that's when you go out in the field and you learn to drive. Now, my lads had a field car. Well, it was the neighbour's car. But we knew where they kept the key. So we had a field car. Now, back in my day, there was no getting the bus to school. There was no bus to school. You had to walk to school. 7 miles. Bare feet.
How old are you?
7 miles in the frost. In the snow. You might have not a hot sport in your pocket. Or cut a hammer.
What the fuck? Stonehenge.
I used to go to school, I'd have the top of a sausage and a fag. And we were happy. We were happy. So, there's a moral in that story. Now, I don't know what it is, but just take heed, okay? And my second story, we're off to Kenya. Another kip. So, sorry. Now, the story in the papers is, they said, dozens flock to see a film about lesbians in Kenya. Dozens. There's a fucking bigger crowd in the doctor's waiting room. Huh? And more crack. So the film was banned by the Kenyan Film Classification Board, and the High Court in Kenya has lifted the ban. They haven't much to be fucking doing, have they? Huh? Country falling down. So they had to lift the ban because it couldn't be nominated for an Oscar unless it was shown in the cinema. I'd say Hollywood is shitting themselves, huh? Did I interrupt you?
Shut up!
So, did you ever go to cinema?
I did, yeah.
I went to the pictures once. Fuck it. It's a year ago, not fucking 2 or 3 years ago now. They were all talking about this new film you had to go see. Had to go see this new film. It's called Ben-Hur. Remember Charlton Heston? Fine looking young man. And just the screen, it was as big as a field. I wouldn't go back.
No?
No, there was fucking horses and everything coming at me. I nearly spilled my flask of tea. My cousin, Liam Furlong, he went to the cinema in Turles. He never came back. Gone. That's a fact. That's a fact. So, this film in Kenya is called The Rafiki. And the ad says, the Rafiki tells the story of two young women who fall in love in a society where gay relationships are frowned upon. They could have just filmed that in Port Leash. So, it's... I'm fucking settled down a bit now.
What's wrong with you?
It's the first ever Kenyan film to be nominated for the Cannes Film Festival. Okay? Now, I'll tell you, I went to the Cannes Film Festival once. It's no banshee show. Now, the head of the Film Classification Board is Ezekiel Mota. I'm that prick. So, I went to school with his sister, Mary Muta. Now, you probably, Maureen probably remembers Mary Moota now in the convent.
Yeah, yeah.
Mary Moota, powerful footballer. She only played as far as minor. Some waste of talent. She got too fond of big bamboo. And she packed in the football. So... I think she's gone back playing Junior B with Zambia, but I fucking... Anyway, now, see, he maintains, Ezekiel, that the movie's homosexual storyline corrupts the country's moral fabric. Disrupting the country's moral fabric. This is a country where the average life expectancy is 46. That's a fact. Okay? So it's kind of similar to Carlo. But in Kenya, people die of, like, you know, hunger and AIDS. Or in Carlo, you just die of boredom. Is that a clap? Carlo, well, and happening down the town. Yeah, erosion. You'd be hoping someone belonged to you would die just to get out of the house. Go to the fucking funeral, do something. So, this film, anyway, right? The young ones shifting in the film. So, do you remember when there was a gay kiss in Fair City?
Yes.
Yes. I seen it. I had to go to confession after. Carmel fucked the telly out the window. She set it on fire. Holy water. So, lads, if you're in Nairobi over the next 6 days and you want to go see a film, you can go see the Rafiki. But Kenya, like, is very famous for national parks and wildlife and all that. So they have a whole area gone wild where they do nothing with it. So it's just like half of Offaly. It's just... leave it alone. But it's funny how you don't see too many tourists in Banagher. Okay. Now, local news. Local news this week. John Kiley got the ride. Now, the boys know Kylie as well as I do. You couldn't meet a nicer man than John Kylie. No, fine. Like, he was nearly too nice to ride. You couldn't... Women... correct me if I'm wrong, Maureen, but women want a real man.
Yeah. Not like... Okay.
Not like you, soft cock. He was going around during the week with a V-neck jumper like he was Tommy Fleming.
Tommy Fleming.
He's the reason women can't leave their drinks unattended at bingo. Oh, Peggy O'Brien is still not talking to you. Okay, so look, Kylie got the jump at the plowing. He met a lovely lady from the Ukraine.
Oh, no.
Now, I know what you're thinking. Don't tell Kylie. Because myself and the lads chipped in. We had a whip around. And we got her to do a job on John Kylie. Now, it had to be done. Like, I wasn't going to let Kylie die without at least using his big tool once in his life. So, I organised it. And tell you one thing, lads. €50 well spent.
€50?
Yeah, but John Kylie broke his duck egg and I got a hand job in the cab of a massive Ferguson. So...
Oh,
Sorry. It was a New Holland. Don't tell Kylie. Oh, Camel, yeah, fuck, sorry. I'm thinking of
She doesn't listen to the podcast, no, does she? No,
she more sense. So, he came back to us that evening, our lads. Kylie's in love, which I won. 60 years of age, gets his first ride. He was like a calf letter of a shit. He was fucking bucking around that lone town that night, lad, I swear to God. So he took you on for dinner and all. Well, he took her for a scone in the food tent. Like, this is the fucking plowing now, not, you know, Marbella. So John Kylie, as well as having a big rod, he had a big farm. And no kids to leave it to. No wife to leave it to. So all of a sudden, your one was like, oh, John Kylie, I love you. Right? She smelt the fucking farm. After 4 minutes of passion in an Eiffel Williams trailer, she was in love with John Kylie. Now she's gone moving down to Drangamore with Kylie. I tell you, she won't fit in well there. She will not fit in well. They don't trust anyone over 40 who still has their own teeth. And she's seen more pipe than Irish water, so... Well, I mean, I hope at least she can cook. Because Kylie, she has the man, he's living off cornflakes since the mother died. Cornflakes have three ingredients. Corn, flakes, and depression. It fucking can't be hitting them, right? So at least he's getting off the hand pump, you know. But, well, no point having a dog and barking yourself, is there? So, no. So, you see, the Ukrainian man, she came up to me to plow on, and she says, I'm looking for sugar daddy. I said, girl, I'm too old for you and having a fucking bean. So, speaking of money, actually, I just wanted to take this opportunity to say there is money gone missing from the club lotto. Now, the money was supposed to pay for new lights, and I was in charge of the 5,000 euro. And I left it in the dressing room unattended, and it's gone missing. So if you have any information, you can contact Mr. Chairman. I won't be here next week. Myself, I'm in Barbados. But the young lad will give you the number. So anyway, she's gone off with Kylie. She landed on her feet now with John Kylie. He has more money than the Pope. That man, he's so mean, he wouldn't give you his opinion. John Kylie is so mean, he turns off his wipers going under a bridge. Okay? He's a fucking modern-day Charlie Hawley. Yeah. Another prick. Did I tell you about Charlie Hawley? Not many people know this. But Charlie Hawley invented AIDS. That's a fact.
Oh, we never get sponsored.
That's a fact. Now, I'm going to the bar. Maureen, do you want a drink?
I'd love one, yeah.
And a mineral for the child.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Noel Furlong.
Can I just say, I lost track of the podcast disclaimers there, so please don't anybody sue us. We don't have that much money, so...
We were hoping to get the podcast sponsored. Yeah. I'd like to thank you all for coming tonight. This will probably be the last ever live podcast following Noel Furlong. Look, it's great to have Noel here, and of course we're going to move on now to another mainstay of our podcast, and that is Maura's mystery topic.
Sorry. I was having a chat with Mickey Joe.
You fucking miss Noel.
Again.
That's 33 weeks in a row now you've missed.
I accidentally took a sip out of Mickey Joe's coffee. I'm never washing my teeth again now. Sorry, go on.
All right, so her car broke down last week. She couldn't be with us, but thankfully she has her beloved Beamer back in action. And you wrote in you had a Beamer.
I'm just going to say, you didn't. I had it in the podcast running order earlier and you didn't mention it. I have a lovely 2008 BMW in perfect running order for sale. So inquiries can be made to me after the show.
There's never been a problem, lads, with that Beamer.
We'll
stand by that. But she's here tonight, Maura. What's your mystery topic this week?
Oh, I thought about being so mean to you and just absolutely throwing you under the bus. But then I decided I'd be nice to you. So, lads, tonight's mystery topic is Toto's hit song, Africa. A music venue in Bristol is going to play it on a loop for 5 hours straight in a night to raise money for an African charity. It's happening in the Exchange on the 30th of November. So I'm wondering, could you stand 5 hours of Africa by Toto? If not, what song could you stand 5 hours of in a nightclub? And the band Weezer have actually, earlier this year, re-recorded Africa and raised money for charity. So would you do a version of it and, you know...
Have you heard how high that?
Do
you know how high that song is?
Yeah, it went to number one, 19.
No, I mean like how high. I kiss the rain.
I'm just kicking the bubbles.
It's probably just it's probably just about out of my range, which is probably one note. But did you ever see the version of the young lad on Facebook doing this?
No.
I'll send you. Does anybody see that? No, the young lad, and he does like. He keeps hitting all the different notes and his
oh,
face.
Oh, he mixed it. Yeah. That's quite good. Yeah,
he's like Johnny B without auto tune. I'm joking. No, but Toto Africa, 5 hours.
Well, it depends on what time of the night he came on.
I think this is about 9 o'clock.
Oh, no.
So 5 hours, like, you know, from
I'm
nine.
I'm fairly sure Copper's just put on Westlife. On a piece from 2 a.m. and like we don't notice.
Everyone's fairly well steamed now. I'd say if Toto Africa come on for 5 hours now, I'd say there'd be no water. I don't know about that song particularly. I love it, don't get me wrong, but I'd be more of a fan of Toto's Rosanna. That's actually a better song. I'd probably listen to that for 5 hours, but I don't see why I wouldn't listen to We've Got the World Tonight for 5 hours.
No, it can't be a Mickey Joe Hart or a Blizzard song because you're just saying that to lick the arse off them. So
grand. What song would I listen to for 5 hours? Premier
Rap.
Fucking no.
Cheers, no one was asking for you. last night, I listened to Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer 5 times in a row.
That's a good tune.
I don't want to know what you were doing while you were listening to Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer.
He was hammering something, or someone.
Can I tell the story about Palmatini?
Yeah, go on.
Will I? Oh, shit. Right, Ma, switch off. This is the most outrageous story I've ever. Wow. I was hoping to save it until I eventually thought someday I might meet Palmatini. But one night...
Forget about that, he's not coming on after this.
No. I was kind of seeing a girl, and eventually it was like, right, we're going to the bedroom. And we had several drinks. And my computer used to be near the bed. And on YouTube, she put on Paolo Nutini, Last Request. You know the song? Slow down. It's a beautiful song, right? And we got down to business, right?
Business.
3.5 minutes later. No. She got off, pressed refresh. Back to business. 3.5 minutes later, fresh. I swear to fuck, by the end of the night, I knew the words. I'm not bragging, lads, but she must put song on refresh 10 times. So.
10 times. 10 times. I fucking lived with you. Longer than 10 times. I wouldn't have Africa on repeat. I'd probably go for something like, probably go for like World of Our Own or something by Westlife. Something.
5 hours of that.
Yeah, 5 hours of that, yeah.
The most
I'd have the full dance routine off then by the 5 hours. So.
The most listened to song in our car is probably Fill Me In by Craig David.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's just...
It'd probably be that or a Saw Doctor song.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... Yeah.
More yourself.
Oh, 5 hours is a song. Oh, Jesus. Just think in my head, not one of yours.
The late team song, is it?
Do you know what the A-team song? Dun, 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 yeah. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
5 hours of that?
Yeah.
Jeez, you feel pumped.
It just gets me in the mood, you know? So how the hell did you turn my mystery topic back into something about riding? I do not know, but anyway.
That's
I was like, it was going to be clean, it was going to be clean, no.
That's what we do. So
warm them up.
Of course, we just have to say this for anybody who isn't here and is listening to the podcast. Don't forget to rate, review, tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. Use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod. That's the digit Two Johnnies Pod. Listen, there's a lot of dyslexic people out there. And just, if you want to go on social media and tell everyone how class this was, and if you want to like tweet a load of companies and just be like, here, do you want to sponsor the lads? That'd be fucking even sounder. But look.
All right.
Moving on from that, I can't believe I'm about to do this. When we started this podcast, lads, we put together a list of people we wanted to interview on this show. And one of those people, I'm glad to say, is our next guest. I ran me mother's phone bill up fucking sky high voting for this man back in the day. He's represented Ireland in the Eurovision. He's got a green guitar. Will you please welcome to the stage the one, the only, Mickey Johar.
Hello.
Come on.
Wow, I don't know if this is a fucking good idea or not.
Get a load of fucking pictures there, but yeah. Mickey, it's an absolute...
Any chance I can sit over there more?
No, sorry.
This could be...
We're absolutely delighted, Mickey. Thanks very much for doing this. I guess it shows by the reception you got. People fucking love you here in Ireland.
Thanks, Johnny.
Yeah.
Keep her going.
You came to prominence for a lot of people probably in this room in 2003 with Eurostar.
Take us back, Mickey.
Transcend us to a time where flare jeans were cool and lads had eyebrow piercings.
Do we have to go that far back?
Yeah. Yeah. What's your memories then of Eurostar?
Very little. It's all a blur. Great crack. We had brilliant fun. It was just, you know, great bit of fun. We made a lot of friends and a few enemies, but we gigged a lot in a year. It was a kind of baptism of fire for me, and just, you know, lots of gigs and lots of parties and stuff.
You actually did a gig in my hometown, in Care.
I remember it well, yeah.
What was her name? And... A girl in my class robbed your leather jacket.
That's true. It wasn't leather, but it's close.
Leather.
I didn't have the money for the leather one quite then. You know, it was after the gig I was able to afford it.
It was a gig. Absolute like hysteria at the time. Like you were like the Irish Elvis there for years. Yeah. I mean, people were just going mad. What was it like?
It was good. It was good fun. As I say, it's hard to get sort of used to at the time. I was gigging quite a lot before that for, you know, I'd bands and stuff for maybe 10 or 12 years up to that. And then I just happened to stumble on Eurostar, and that's, you know, it just propelled me into somewhere that you can't really explain it when it happens. It just, you know, you just go with it and see what happens at the other side. And
did you stay gigging while you were doing Eurostar?
I didn't really. I kind of stopped gigging during Eurostar because there was so much stuff involved in Eurostar, believe it or not. They used to follow you around. You were learning the song from each week to next, you know, all the songs and stuff for the final, and just trying to... They followed us everywhere. They were doing all VT stuff, you know, that they needed for the... So you were just filming a lot.
You were telling me you got booked for one gig in Kerry in the middle of the...
A real clever guy at the start of the competition, the very first night down in Killarney... a very shrewd publican. He seen Kerry, the other, Kerry man, you can't beat them. But the very first night he seen me, and he goes, that guy's going to win. So we rang up the manager the next day and said, yeah, can I book your man for a gig? He seems good. So he got us like for 500 quid or something, you know, so in a little bar in Killarney up the stairs. And then he insisted, obviously, we won. The manager was trying to, listen, we can't do this gig because, you know, it's going to be crazy. And he said, I've got the contract. You better come on. So it was all contract. So we did, I think we renegotiated the fee a little bit. But we did the gig, but it was upstairs in a very small bar in Killarney. It was great fun, but it was, you know, interesting. Yeah.
You had a big entourage with you at this stage.
No, we just had the band, and even that was enough at the time, you know, to try and get in through the audience. Because we all went in the one way. There was no back door into this place or dressing rooms or anything. So it was just straight in up the middle of the crowd, you know, so, pushed our way through. And then when I got to the stage, I realized I forgot my guitar. I left it downstairs in the little back room. So I remember the tour manager Vinny going mad, going through and coming back. I could see this guitar coming through the audience.
The guitar,
yeah. So yeah,
the green guitar, like, where did the green guitar come from, Mickey? Because that's, I think I begged my mother for drums for years, and I never fucking got them.
Green drums?
No, but when I seen that green guitar, I was like, can I get that? And she was like, no. So I tried the tin whistle for a while, but that, I was fucking shit at that as well. So, but I mean, the green guitar, where did that come from? That was, you were telling us that's a local guy.
Yeah, it's a company called Emerald Guitars, and they started making guitars. I didn't even know about them, and I lived obviously very near. They came out of the blue. He presented me with a guitar one night and said, you know, try this out. And they're really nice guitars. They're all very boring stuff. They're fiberglass resin. There's no wood in them, and they're all one mold and all that kind of fakey stuff. But and it just looked good on TV at the time, you know. So he gave me two, actually. One was a bluey kind of grey colour.
And oh, it
was
disgusting.
Yeah, terrible. So the green ones seemed to work better on TV, and they all loved the TV captured guys. So just, this is great. Yeah, so we just went with it, yeah. So.
Back home in Roscrea, we were absolutely thrilled at the time because they were having a big local concert. The Special Olympics was in town, and there was a big massive deal being made over there, and they were having a welcoming concert and stuff like that, and we were like, this is going to be brilliant. And then word went around they had got someone from Eurostar, so the go Mickey Joe signs were out.
I know
everyone was buzzing.
Like, I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, for some reason I got my hair bleached. I don't know. You never had bleached hair or anything. But in fairness, it worked out well when Brian Norman turned on. So Brian Norman and Michael Linner came. I'll never forget it. Every child in the parish was just like, but Mammy, where's Mickey Joe? And I was like, no, you'll have to make do with the boys. Like, you've done an extensive tour.
Yeah.
You've done some crazy gigs around, like, what's...
Yeah, this has been the worst. Where did it all go wrong?
fucking everybody says that to us, Mickey, no, to be honest.
Not at all.
Any mad requests from fans now back in the day?
Oh, God. Some mad requests.
Mickey.
People used to send me stuff, which was nice, and pick a portrait. I got a portrait one time, and it was nice. My mum kept it. It doesn't look anything like me, but it's weird, but my mum kept, you know, somebody went into the Bothering portraits, and I got candles with my picture on them and stuff, you know, with the holy pair and stuff.
Jeez, it's where you were done or done.
Yeah, exactly. So we got a lot at the time. Special Olympics was here that year, the 2003, and a lot of the towns were hosting countries. You probably know yourselves. And so I got a lot of requests to do gigs, the Special Olympic events all over the place. So yeah, it was just great fun, sort of going around, you know. And so every time we'd done a gig, we'd do a charity event in one of the places. So there's loads of that stuff going on, which just, it was crazy, chaotic, but good, kind of fun, you know.
And of course, we can't chat to you without talking about We've Got the World Tonight and the Eurovision.
Yeah.
I mean, You finished 11th.
Fucking scandal. Yeah.
Which is probably the highest we've ever fucking finished, because they're rubbish at the moment. We're thinking about throwing our own names forward. What they fucking are, if you've not been watching it. But like that song, if you play that now, people go crazy. Like,
yeah.
So what is it about that song that's made it live on? Like, people love it. I've been in pubs 2-3 in the morning.
I wish I knew. Could, you know, write a few more like it to be great. But it's like I don't know. It's a simplistic kind of melody in a way, and it just seems to the vibe and the beat, and you know, it's everything. But I mean, when you strip it down and just sing it with the acoustic guitar, it still works, you know. Yeah. So I do that a lot at gigs, and that sort of proves that, you know, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but as a pop song goes, it's damn good, you know, for the melody. To
I tell you,
around, so.
It fucking sure is, and it's even better after a flake of pints. That one, maybe.
Miggy.
Yeah, but not me. As long as I don't have the pints, you can find it.
I'll have
them. We've Got the World went to number one, and it was in the Irish charts. It stayed there for 5 weeks, went quadruple platinum, sold 60,000 units.
Wow, that's a lot these days.
At £5 to go, that's 300 grand, Mickey. You must be fucking loaded here.
I don't know where it all went. I wish I knew where it all went, but no, I still gig a lot, so no, I'm not loaded.
You have a new album coming out.
The Shoes of a Rich Man.
Hipster. You're still gigging. You have a new album coming out.
Yeah, I'm just gigging. I'm doing a huge amount of sort of solo stuff really at the minute, and a band and musicians that I use for different things, but I do university college scene here, and a few other
when
bits.
You're doing a gig in, like, you know, at Lone IT, are they all not just saying, Mickey, get to the fucking song?
I make them wait, you know, so.
Last song,
I do two songs and then do that, so.
Do like, it every third song.
I have the jazz version, you know, the reggae version.
Go right. Phil, it comes up as a rap version.
Yeah. But I have loads of hits, you know, so I mean, like...
That's right.
Yeah, I remember when your album came out, it was Sometimes Right, Sometimes Wrong. And that was a pretty, pretty slow song. And at the time, we were... I was in school. I told Johnny this in Carrie, like, don't tell this. I was like, but I'm going to tell it anyway. It's probably embarrassing, but... we were in religion class in school, and they, like, you know, put this song on, and they were like, you know, but now put your head down and relax and think. And I'll always remember, I just let a big massive fart out. And for some reason, Mickey, I just had to tell you that. I don't know why, but it's an odd one, but I really like that. We listened to it the other day.
So hot air
on Spotify.
We listened to your album again the other day, coming up in the car, and good. It's still good, lads. And
good.
Like, why? Do you know what I'm open to? Why wasn't there other big hits? Like, you're obviously a great singer and well able to write songs. Like, I mean, why do you think?
I don't know. I mean, we had a single, Never Wanna Let You Down, after that was the second single, and it done all right. Beyonce kept us off number one for about 5 weeks with Crazy in Love. We released it on the same day. It was kind of stupid. We would have had a number one.
Yeah, fucking bitch.
But whatever happened to her?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, you know. That type of thing. So with that, and then we decided that we'd set up our own label, and I've done that, and I've kind of been rowing my own wee boat ever since. But, you know, I'm really enjoying it. I'm enjoying the control of it, and the songs, the albums are quite different to We've Got the World.
Yeah.
So I think I lost that audience very quickly. So it's all about, the last while has just been about building a new audience and going around doing a lot of the singer-songwriter venues. I go to Germany on Saturday for 2 weeks and do a lot of that, traveling with my guitar and my back. And I just really enjoy it, you know.
You didn't think, like some bands have a hit and then they say, all right, well, the next song's got to be just like that.
Yeah.
You know, you went and wrote what music you liked, right?
No, because I didn't, you know, it wasn't really my cup of tea, really. It just happened like that way, but...
What's your thoughts on We've Got the World Tonight now? Like,
I love it.
You still like it?
Yeah, I do. It's paid a lot of bills.
So, yeah. You know, he has four children. All from one woman.
Yes.
Well, in music, that's a fair achievement, lads. What do your kids, they're growing up now, what do they make of this whole thing?
The two younger ones were in the middle of it when it happened, you know, so they all got to see it first time around, and then the two older ones, sorry, should I say, and the two younger ones now, they haven't a clue what was going on. They don't know. When people come up to them in the street or ask for a picture or something, they're going like, what's going on, you know, and the older ones have to explain to them, sort of, and that's a bit of fun. We done a lot of stuff at the time because it was family. You know, Eurostar was very intrusive in a way, you know, and we done a lot of stuff with the family. And
RT are a shower constant.
And anyone who works for
them. We're only joking, we love them.
No, I mean that in a good way. It was just by the nature of the thing, it was very intrusive. So, you know, we gave a lot of ourselves at the time, and it's something that the family are not interested in being involved in. Let's be just, you know, they it was good fun at the time, but it's like, wow, okay, I don't want any of that, and I don't mind that. I do what I do.
Living with the Hearts, that never happened.
Yeah, sure, yeah. No, thank God.
Keeping up with the Hearts.
Would have been very boring, you know. But yeah, so that's, and they don't mind it at all. It doesn't mean nothing to them now, you know. They kind of laugh it off. And, I mean, they enjoyed it at the time.
We're like, you still get stopped for pictures all the time, I'm assuming. Like, to be honest, when you walked in here tonight, I was like, oh my God. And then I had to just go, oh, hi, yeah. But I was fucking buzzing, like, to be honest. And like, it's still like, you get like that, like, it's like meeting Robbie Fowler all over again or something. Like,
I met Robbie Fowler because I'm a Liverpool fan, so yeah.
I was buzzing first time I met Robbie Fowler, and I asked my mum to take a photo, and him and Steve McManaman chopped the fucking head off the two of them. So it's me standing with two lads in suits.
Yeah.
And a Liverpool jumper on me. So hopefully we get it. At least we got a proper picture with you, Mickey. But we, as I was saying earlier on, we finish with all our guests with the quickfire rounds. Now, in fairness to Brezzy, he won't be the brightest. He didn't get the old quickfire round. Hopefully we. Hopefully.
I'm worse. Yeah, it could be worse. I'm on my toes. I seen his. I thought he'd done really well.
He was telling a story about like a pigeon that once. I don't know what. So we'll start with hangover cure. Would it be Lucozade or a full Irish?
Lucozade and Sobadine.
Yeah. holiday destination: Bundoran or Santa Ponsa.
Oh. Santa Bundoran Ponza. See, I met my wife in Bundoran, believe it or not. We you know, some people say we met her on the Maldives or something. I met her in Bundoran.
Met her in Bundoran.
And I've had lots of fun over the years in Santa Ponsa as a younger man, just out gigging and stuff. So, and I have a lot of affiliation with Mallorca. I love the whole place. So
gigging.
That's a
and
hard
stuff.
One, yeah. And I used to play at O'Gorman Arms in Bundoran. Remember O'Gorman Arms? It's now you're not there anymore. That's how long ago it is. It's now it's still there. So Bundoran is close heart. So anyway, so there you go. Sorry, can't
answer. So when it comes to Eurovision songs, Hold Me Now or What's Another Year?
Oh, What's Another Year?
What's Another Year?
By far. Yeah.
Okay, so what about What's Another Year or Rock and Roll Kids?
Rock and Roll Kids.
Yes. Okay, pizza or Chinese?
Chinese.
Oh, this is not Pat Kenny.
I like hot food. I like hot things.
Yeah. Marigot. Speaking of hot things, Marigot. Marigot or Philomena Begley?
Philomena.
What's the worst gig you've ever done?
Oh, God. Jesus, there's been a lot of them.
Care House. Somebody robbing your leather jacket. That's got to be up there.
Honestly, I'm nearly gigging. Next year, I'll be gigging 30 years, honestly. I started gigging when I was 15, so there you go. But
don't tell the tax man.
We had... And you'll know all about it, lads, soon enough.
Yeah, we're fucked. We'd be like Foster and Adam.
Would you get my bill? Oh, the worst... Oh, God. I don't know. It's there's been so many. Where Yeah, at one time in Killybegs, I fell off the stage. So that was pretty bad. Fell back. They had this portable stage, and I sort of, you know, thought I was trying to do the Robbie Williams thing, you know, and so I went down like a bag of shite. And it's going down's one thing. I shouldn't talk like this, but you know, I'll rephrase this. Falling off the stage is one thing. But, you know, getting back up there is far worse, you know, because, you know, you're down there, it's like, I think I'll just fucking stay here, you know. It's worse if you have to go back up, but, that's just one. There's been loads of them. But I remember one other night in Killybegs, we had a lot of hassle. Don't tell anybody this if you're from Donegal, please. And all of us, right, it'll be out on the thing. But anyway, we managed to get a gig years ago in the back of a trailer at a big festival-y thing, you know, one of these, in a field at night, and it was really late, and we didn't start till 2 in the morning or something crazy, and we had an awful carry with the gear. We had to carry the gear for the field and do all, you know, all this shit you had to do. So, but we finished up, and the woman then started to haggle with us with the money, which, you know, was salt in the wound. So she said, you'll take a bit less, you know, the festival, come on, you have to support them. So anyway, we'd done the deal and we got out of the thing, but it turns out when we got home, she had given us all the bouncers' money, so we had double what we had sort of...
And you drove straight back the next morning.
It was a difficult decision. If she hadn't haggled with us, she would have got the money back.
Yeah. Serves her fucking right.
Sorry, we were broke, fuck's sakes, you know what I mean? Yeah, so there's two Killybeg stories.
Oh, that's brilliant. We're never doing a gig in Killybegs, Johnny. Yeah. Donegal to win an All-Ireland or Ireland to win a World Cup?
Oh, Jesus. No, listen. We have, listen, I'm a huge soccer fan. I spent all the week there, our last few days, with the 36 guys who played in Ireland. They brought them back to Gilleranail, Quinn up in the K-Club, and we had a fantastic couple of nights with them all. My heroes, honestly, are soccer players and Donegal. I love them. But we already have a couple. Sure, we'll get loads more of them. They're coming.
I'm going to have to
but
push
Ireland
you
for the World Cup, I'd have to go. I'm sorry. Fuck me, that would raise the whole country, you know. That would just bring us to a different level. If we even got there, for fuck's sake.
If we got there, we'd wreck the place. Yeah,
all right.
Barry's tea or Lyons' tea?
Barry's.
Here on the Two Johnnies podcast, lads, we ask the questions people really want to fucking know. Mickey, Sharon Ní Bheol on or Gráinne Shaw again?
Gráinne.
Yeah. Yeah.
What well, Sheila really, but Gráinne's right.
And X Factor or Strictly?
Oh, Strictly, yeah.
Strictly, yeah. Putting her name forward for Dancing with the Stars next year, Mickey?
Strictly.
You got another reality show, boy, we'll get you in there. Yeah. And lastly, three people you'd love to bring on a night out.
Well, you two guys first
dead
of all.
Dead or alive, yeah.
And before you two guys, Mara. And let's see who else. I don't know. We can have a good party. There's Michael Brady's up the back. I'll bring him out. He's a great guy.
He's good crack. Yeah, he's good crack. We met him there last time.
He's up there. So.
Oh, this isn't fucking Ronan Collins, lads. Shout out to Michael Brady.
Yeah, sorry.
Up the back there.
He's always good company.
Any more, Johnny?
I've got one. I've got one more question. Yeah, Dr. Dre or Dr. Hook?
Dr. Hook.
Dr. Hook.
If I said you had a beautiful body, nobody knows, would you hold it against me?
On that note, please give it up for the one and only, the legend that is Mickey Johar.
All right. While Mickey is tuning up, we're going to give you our Yurt and Dirt of the Week. Johnny, do you want to start with life?
My Yurt of the Week, of course, this is the first ever light podcast, so my Yurt of the Week is this beautiful crowd here. I'm sure everybody says this at geeks, but lads, honest God, like when we put these tickets on sale, we're shitting our pants. And we're absolutely delighted that so many of you come here tonight. It means the world anyway to me, Johnny and Mara. This podcast started sitting in our office down in Care, and it still is there. So we're delighted to bring it to you every week, and you know we love you getting involved and coming to see it and the feedback and everything. So yeah, you're my year today.
This makes it real. So yeah, okay. Mine is JP McManus throwing the money out to the guy. Fairness, Johnny. I mean, if you had that money, would you give money to the guy? No.
That's his topic tomorrow night, isn't it?
Tomorrow night. Also, hot whiskey.
Hot whiskey.
It's getting cold, Dad. Hot whiskeys are back. Dirt of the week. Dirt of the week. My dirt of the week. We went into a shop today, and they had an area for sitting down. You know, you can have your coffee and take away food, but you can eat it there. And they no jacks. I gave the whole time, I was fucking tapping away, like, Tiesto's in the ear there. I was like, and I got nothing done. And then, you know they have a jacks, there's about 47 of them working there. No, out of order, my friend, sorry. So, that's my, I'm just calling out all the shops.
Yeah, so my...
It's not funny, I'm just fucking serious about this.
This is the first time I'm going to refresh a Dirt of the Week, but the good people that were Topaz... And have now moved to Circle K.
We ran them out of Ireland, I'll tell you that now.
We got rid of Topaz, and we're going to get rid of Circle K. Right?
Or the milk.
The fucking milk jugs in that Circle K in Cashel.
Right.
Every time I go in there, today I went through 3 cups of coffee. I only paid for one, but... I had ruined 2 previously with like trying to spill in the milk jug, and you kind of, you don't know whether to press the button or not. And then you pull up the flap. And you pull up the flap. Look, a load of milk went in and a shutting went in, so... It's my dirt to the wee.
It's a fucking jug of milk, then. How hard is it to use?
Hey, it's fucking tough. It's tough. But,
Maura, how did we do, all right?
You did so good.
Hey!
Big bang!
All right. Well, shall we?
So, first of all, lads, from me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Now, to play us out, we've got the word tonight. The one and only Mickey George.
So, I guess get a wee bit more mic here, please, if you don't mind. Blast it up there. We're all fucking deaf at this stage. Here we go. So I was thinking, I drove all the way from Donegal and I'm fucked up, I'm only singing one song, you know.
Touché!
Brezzy got to do three. He didn't have to come as far as me. He gets to go to Dubai tomorrow. I have to go back to fucking Donegal. So I'm gonna sing one or two. So we'll try this for the crack. Can I get a wee bit more guitar, please, if you don't mind? Thanks. So we'll sing, this is called Nine Lives, and if you wanna participate, you just have to sing with me to number nine. It's very easy. How about your rehearsal?
One, two, three. Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, line.
So the seven, eight, nines would be a different order. Just let me do that, but.
Sometimes love isn't magic. Sometimes love's just a tragic. Sometimes love. Just a risk you take. Would you break, forsake it all? Or would you stand the fall? Sometimes love isn't worth it. Sometimes love, you wanna curse it. Sometimes love, you wanna break away. You stay, you stay, you stay. But all I say is one, two, three. Ain't no love to rescue me. Come on, four, five, six. I seen them all, those dirty tricks. And on a seven, eight, nine lives. I'll need them all to get it right. I'll need them all to get it right. I'll need them all to get it right now. Sometimes love is only wasted on the young, they're so complacent. Sometimes love, you make the wrong decision and you live and you die by them. And you try to start again. I said one, two, three. Ain't no love to rescue me. Come on, four, five, six. I seen them all, those dirty tricks, and no, no, seven, eight, nine lives. I'll need them all to get it right. I'll need them all to get it right. I'll need them all to get it right now. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Sometimes love is complicated and just a little overrated. Sometimes love, you never know
when it's gonna come or go, if it's gonna come or go. But don't you know,
1, 2, 3,
ain't no love to rescue me. Come on,
4, 5, 6,
I seen them all, those dirty tricks, and on a 7, 8, 9 lives, I'll need them all to get it right. I'll need them all to get it right. I'll need them all to get it all. Of those are 1, 2, 3. Send your love to rescue me. Come on, 4, 5, 6. But no more your dirty tricks, and on a 7, 8, 9 lives, I'll need them all to get it right. I'll need them all to get it right. I'll need them all. 1, 2, 3. Send your love to rescue me. Come on, 4, 5, 6. But no more of your dirty tricks. And on our 7, 8, 9 lives, I'll need them all to get it right. I'll need them all to get it right. I'll need them all to get it right.
Oh.
Good.
Oh. Mickey Johar, thanks for having us on your show.
I seen Imelda May play a few nights ago, and I was surprised she did this song, so I guess it's still cool to do it. Because I've been doing it for about 20 years. It's a bit of punk music from Derry.
Teenage dreams are hard to beat. Every time she walks down the street, another girl in the neighborhood. Guess she was mine, she looks so good. I wanna hold her, wanna hold her tight. Get teenage kicks right through the night. All right. I'm gonna call her on the telephone. Have her over, cause I'm all alone. I need excitement, no, I need it bad. She's the best that I've ever had. I wanna hold her, wanna hold her tight. Get teenage kicks right through the night. All right. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. I wanna hold her, wanna hold her tight. Teenage kicks right through the night. I wanna hold her tight. Get teenage kicks right through the night. Oh! I wanna hold her tight. Get teenage kicks right through the night. Wanna hold her tight. Get teenage kicks right through the night. She stops.
Delay if you can.
Oh no no, oh no, no. She stands. No, I don't wanna hold. You don't wanna hold. Cause she stands.
What?
You don't wanna hold her. You don't wanna hold her. You know she stands, yeah. She stands. Now I see her standing. Yeah, I wanna hold her. Oh, now down in care, I wanna hold her. And in Ross Gray, I wanna hold. Down in the trip to Tempted Hills, I wanna hold her. stands under moonlight. She touches her hair, a smile that's a mission. Her love is the air, and I know you're my every tomorrow. And I know that you'll always be there. We've got the world tonight. Let's hold on together. And we've got love that's right. So open your heart. Cause we've got. We move even closer.
How close?
With hope in our eyes. Cause love is the answer. Come on.
What's the question?
Cause love is the answer to the hurt and the lies.
To the hurt and the lies. And I know you're my every tomorrow. And I know that you'll always be there. We've got the world tonight. Let's hold on together. Oh, and we've got love that's right. So open your heart. Ask me why the sun and the moon go round. Ask me why my feet never touch the ground. Tell the truth, you take my breath away. We've got the world tonight. Let's hold on together. And we've got a love that's right. So open your heart. We've got the world tonight. Let's hold on together. So open your heart.
Are you only 20? Let me know.
So open your heart. Thank you, two Johnnies. Come on. And the lovely Mara. Yeah.
I see everyone.
For a biggie daughter.
We've got the world tonight. Let's hold on together. And we've got love that's right. So open your heart. Yeah, we've got the world tonight. Let's hold on together. And we've got love that's right. And open your heart. So open your heart. So open your heart. This could be the longest version. Cause we've got
tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much. We'll see you soon. Thanks so much for coming.
Take him up, yeah. Take him up,
Mickey Johar, thanks for having us on your show.